Praise God. I just encourage you to get comfortable, move around a little bit. You know, when you're in a new atmosphere, it takes a little while to get used to things. But we're at home today. Amen. Praise God. I want to start out talking today. In the next month, at least, we're going to talk about, if you're taking notes, we're calling this the four pillars of success. Four pillars of success. And we're going to touch on each one of them starting today, next week, all through the month of January. As I was praying about this and seeking the Lord, He revealed some things to me about using this word, launch pad, to take us into this year. And it's really important that we understand that we don't base our future on our past. You know, God never consults you about your past in order to be used in the future. Some of the people that had the worst backgrounds in the Bible, God used the most. Some of the people that made the greatest mistakes in the Bible. Now, how would you like to have your sins recorded in a book for the whole world to see? Well, that's what happened to David. That's what happened to Moses. That's what happened to these individuals. As an example of God's mercy, of God's grace, and how He can use us. And even if you felt that you've messed up, screwed up, whatever, you know, in the past year, you know, we can move on from that into victory, praise God. And God is a master at taking nobodies and making them into a somebody for His glory. Now, God wants us to succeed. I wanted to start by saying this. God wants you and I to succeed in every single area of our lives. How many of you here enjoy failure? Okay. I'm glad no hands went up. Amen. The only thing that you need to do to be a failure is sit back and do nothing. Amen. But listen, just because you might have failed at something doesn't mean you're a failure. Amen. I failed speech class in junior high. Not proud of it. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we went from there. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, God wants us to be a success in every single area of our lives. Now, Webster's, I look up the word success in Webster's dictionary. And it means this, a favorable or desired outcome, the attainment of wealth, favor, eminence, achievement, acquirement, attainment, triumph. I like the word triumph. Okay? So I like the favorable. Webster says that this word success means a favorable or desired outcome. Hallelujah. Now, here's the four pillars that we're going to talk about in these next couple of weeks here. Number one, we're going to talk about today is this is the first pillar. Now, it's kind of like these columns that you would see in Greece or something like that, these big columns that hold up the buildings, you know. And when one of those pillars goes, you know, it'll create something to fall. For example, you look at who was the guy? Samson in the Bible. And the last miracle that he did was he went to the temple, right? And he was chained between two pillars, right? And what did he do? God gave him enough strength to pull down those pillars. Amen? And destroy more people in his death when he was alive that were Philistines and enemies of God. All right? Now, we're not going to tell you to do that. But we're going to talk about four pillars. The first one we want to talk about today, first of all, is the Word of God. I'll get into the rest as we go. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 8, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Translation. Say the Word. Okay, say it again, the Word. All right, we have to understand this, that the first pillar that we need to be establishing as believers is the Word of God. All right, now 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, the Bible says this, For while one who plants and one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work, for we are God's workers, and you are God's field, you are God's building. Because of God's grace to me, Paul said, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whosoever is building on this foundation must be careful. For no one can lay any other foundation than what we have, which is Jesus Christ. Now Paul is not talking about a literal building of brick and mortar and stone and things like that. He's talking about the spiritual foundation. He says, I've laid the foundation. In Corinthians, he also, Paul says, I've planted, and Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. Hallelujah. Now, he's using natural terms, of course, that you understand planting, you know, a garden or something like that, anything. But he's using that in spiritual terms, in spiritual analogy, that I've planted the seed of the Word of God. And he said, then Apollos came along and he watered the seed. Amen. Now, here's a little secret that we need to understand about the Word of God. The first time that you hear a truth, it's a seed. Okay? Paul said, I've planted. The second time you hear it, you're watering the seed. Now, how many of you know you can have the best seed in the world, but if you don't water it, it's not going to produce. Amen? I made mention of this some time ago that, you know, I was watching the Discovery Channel one time, and they had broken the King Tut's tomb. You know, he's been there a long time. And they got some articles and stuff, and I guess the mindset of the Egyptians back then was that you could take all that stuff with you. Amen? But it's kind of like John Osteen said one time, I've never yet seen a hearse on the highway with a U-Haul truck behind it. Just doesn't happen. You can't take it with you. But see, their mindset, their prevailing mindset was you take all that stuff with you, so you put it in your grave and so forth. But they broke in there and they found all this different stuff, you know, that's been there for thousands and thousands of years. And one of the things they found was it was a clay jar, and it had corn seed in it from 4,000 years ago during his time. And so some of the scientists took the seed and planted it, and it grew. How would you like to get that piece of that corn? Amen. From Tut's tomb. Amen. But see, that seed was there for 4,000 plus years. But until it was put in its right environment, it wouldn't produce and it wouldn't grow. Now, Paul says, I've planted, Apollos watered, but it's God that gave the increase. Hallelujah. Say, God brings increase. Now, I have a message for you this year, and I'm getting this straight from heaven, I believe. And this is the year for God's increase in your life. Amen. In Psalms 115, God says he will bless those that fear the Lord, both small and great. He will bless those. That means an empowerment. And God wants us to get ready this year for great increase in our lives. Now, when I say that, I mean in every way. I'm talking about spiritually, number one. I'm talking about physically, where health, divine health, rules and reigns in your physical body. You. Amen. Financially, how many of you could use a little extra money at the end of the month? I think one person raised their hand. How many of you could use some extra money at the end of the month? Praise God. Bring it on. Amen. See, we're talking about increase literally in every area of your life. And God wants to do that this year. This is the year for him to do that. Now, Paul said that I've planted the seed, and Paul said I've watered the seed, but guess who brings the increase? God brings the increase. Now, we have to understand that God is the one that will bring the increase in our lives. Amen? And we can't look to people to do that, although God uses people, but we just can't get our eyes on any individual. You see, there's only, if you get anything today, get this, there's only one source, but there's many channels. Okay? God is our source. But when we make people our source, that's when we get in trouble. Okay? Because we got it all figured out. You know, that's just the way we as human beings think. We think, well, God will certainly use this person or that rich uncle or aunt. You know what I'm saying? And, well, that may be true or may not be true. But here's the thing. God is our source. And all he uses is many channels. We have to look to him. Amen? The Lord taught me a lesson many, many years ago when we first started our first church in 1986 in the other side of Pittsburgh. And, you know, we just had about four people in the church at the time, you know, and we were in need of a miracle every day. Financially, especially. We needed a miracle. I mean, it was every day we needed a miracle, you know. And the Lord was teaching me some things, and I was up in my little second bedroom praying up there in our little house that we had back then. And every single day, Monday through Saturday, the mail truck would pull up in front of our house down on the street, you know, and I could hear him pull up there, a certain noise to the engine, you know what I'm talking about. And we had a metal mailbox, and it would clink after he put the mail in there. So I went down there and got the mail, and the Lord was trying to teach me something about him being my source, praise God. And so I went down to the mailbox, opened it up, and there was an envelope in there addressed to us from a friend of ours that we had met in Texas, an older couple that we had met in Texas. And I thought, well, that's cool. I hadn't seen them in a couple years, you know, because we had just come back from being assistant pastors there, and we came back and started this church. Well, I opened it up. There's a little note in there, and there was a check in there for $1,500 for our ministry, you know. And they didn't know anything about our situation or anything like that. And I thought, that's the biggest financial, at that time, that was the biggest miracle that I'd ever seen. That was our budget for the entire month, personally as well as the church. Now, it's changed since then. Amen. And I'll tell you, I was just beside myself. I was like, look at this, you know, because we believe that God spoke to us and told us to do that. And when God tells you to do something, he's obligated to supply the needs for whatever. He's not obligated to supply something that we initiate. But if God initiates something, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain to build it. Amen. Amen. And so I made a mistake. Anybody here ever made a mistake before? And I, every single day, I would hear that mail truck, and I would just go down there. I'd look in there, and I was like, nothing today, you know? And this happened for a couple of weeks, and finally, I'm going down to the, I mean, every day, like clockwork, I'm going down there as the mail truck comes, because I'm expecting something. And the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart and corrected me, and I went to open the mailbox. He said, do you think I live in that box? Now, your flesh has a hard time with that. You're ready to grab it. Wait, don't touch that. I knew what the Lord was saying. He said, do you think the only way I can supply your needs is to look in that box right there? And I thought, oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I started making that my source instead of that's the channel. God can, I mean, if God needs to bring a dog up to your door and drop a sack of money on you, he can do that. How many of you know that? They did it to the prophet Elijah, right? Had birds fly over his head and drop food, you know? Three-piece meal every day right in his hands. Okay? So it's really important that we start this year making God our source. And, you know, that's one of the blessings about being a sower and a tither and a giver is that you're saying, Lord, I'm trusting you that you are my source. Every time I give, I remind myself, God, you are my source. And he never lets us down. Praise God. So the first pillar that we want to talk about, how many of you want to be a success? Huh? How many of you here want to be a success? See, God's ordained that you be a success. The first thing that we need to do is to realize the number one pillar is be a stickler to the Word of God. Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 4, if you would. And we're going to look at a particular verse here that in the temptation of, in the wilderness of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And verse 4. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter, of course, because of time here. But do you remember that the devil was tempting Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, then do this and do that, you know. And well, Jesus opened his mouth when he was tempted and he spoke something back to the devil. And that is the Word of God. Say the Word of God. This is the first pillar here. And when the devil tempted Jesus, he opened his mouth and he quoted Deuteronomy 8, verse 3. And he said, he answered and said to the devil, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Because remember, the devil said, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Now, how many of you know Jesus could have done that? But he's not going to let the devil back him into a corner and pressure him into doing a miracle. And Jesus said to him, he says, it is written in Deuteronomy 8, 3, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, notice that, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, what did he do? He spoke scripture. You say, well, Brother Keith, that's Jesus. He can do that. But I don't know about me. I'm a little cautious about doing that. Well, Jesus wasn't doing this to just to prove that he was the Son of God. He was showing you and I how to function and how to operate in this earth. Now, it's important that you realize that God gave you a mouth for more reasons than just blabbering. Amen? And communicating, all right? But God gave you a mouth because we're made in his likeness and in his image. We have the ability to choose words because we're spirit beings just like God, made in His likeness, made in His image. And He says, choose life, choose words. Amen. He said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, choose life. Well, Jesus said in John 6:63, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they are life. So when you choose life, you're choosing the word of God. And when Jesus spoke the word of God right here, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He said that and the devil had to leave him for a different temptation. And we know that he came with three separate temptations. But on all three occasions, what did Jesus do? He spoke the word of God. Okay, now for us to be a success this year in our lives, we have to start openly proclaiming. Now, a lot of us are doing that, but sometimes we need encouraged along that line to continue this. Amen. Is to speak what God says about your situation. Hallelujah. The Bible talks about that, you know, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the power of the tongue, not in the power of the devil. They're in the power of, not in the power of God. They're in the power of the tongue. So we want to choose words that are going to bring life to us. Amen. You know, it's no different in the natural. If you went up to someone and cussed them out. And I don't encourage anybody to do that. You know, things could have been pretty cool before then, but all of a sudden a whole bag opened up for you of hell. You know what I'm saying? Because you said something to someone and really hurt them or something like that, you know. But on the same token, you can say words that are going to bless and encourage and comfort and build people up. Praise God. So what did Jesus do? He opened his mouth and he said, it is written. Now, notice that Jesus didn't say, hey, guys, look, Satan, look, I'm the Son of God. Do you know who you're messing with here? He didn't do that, did he? What did he do? He said, it is written. You can do the same thing. Satan comes with a symptom on your body. These flu symptoms, you know, this time of year, man, there's more people talking about the flu than anything else. Listen, guys, you do not need to be afraid of flu season. I mean, even the doggone Weather Channel has this season, you know, they run out of things. Flu season, pain, the pain index and all this kind of stuff. And so what happens is you keep hearing about the flu. They keep hearing about the flu, the swine flu, the hog flu, whatever, you know, and all these different flus that are going around. And so what happens is it puts a fear in your mind because you start thinking about it like, I wonder if I'm next. Well, when that happens, what you need to do is you need to open your mouth and you need to say, no, in Jesus' name, the flu's not coming to my house. I don't care if you had it last week. You know what I'm saying? It's what from here on that matters. Okay? Because Jesus redeemed us from the curse. In Galatians 3:13, Jesus redeemed us from the curse of poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. And what Jesus bore, we need not bear. I'll say that again. What Jesus bore, we need not bear. So the first pillar is the Word of God. Putting the Word of God inside your heart, speaking it out your mouth, and thereby God will honor His Word and bring it to pass. You know, was it Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, God says, I'll watch over my word to perform it. I think the King James says, I'll hasten. Another translation says, I will watch over my word to perform it. So we want to give God some tools to work with. So what do we want to do? We want to give Him the word of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. You see, don't wait till you're sick to start saying healing scriptures. Okay? Don't wait till you're broke to start speaking provision scriptures. Speak it while you've got money in the bank. Speak it while you got divine health in your body right now. Because what are you doing? You're putting a fortress around you. Praise God. Psalm 91 says, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. That's pretty cool. That's a lot of people. Amen. 1,000 at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. So that's 11,000 people right there. But it said, it won't come near you. Praise God. Why can't you be that person? Well, the good news is you can. You can choose to be that person. You need not fear the devil. You need not fear sickness or disease or tragedy. Because when you stand upon the word of the living God, God will honor His word and He will back it up. Amen. All right. So Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So this first pillar I want to talk about today is the word of God. Now, here's how we'll apply that. Okay, Here's the application of how you can apply that in your life. I don't care if you're a teenager in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70, 100 years old. This will work for whosoever. Our children over there are being taught these principles. Okay? Is we have to ask ourselves this question. In every area of life, in every circumstance of life, in every battle of life or situation, we have to ask ourselves, what does the Word of God say about this situation? Amen? I think Joyce Meyer was popular for coining this phrase. She said, when you get in trouble, do you run for the phone or the throne? That sounds like Joyce Meyer, doesn't it? Praise God. What a blessing she is, huh? To the body of Christ. Oh, my. Take someone just a basic housewife background, you know, and God just use her for the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? And listen, how do we build on this first pillar is by asking ourselves in every area of life, what does the Word of God say about this? In other words, when something comes your way, in a temptation or a lack or a need or a physical, something comes against your physical body, you ask yourself this question, all right, I feel this, I see this, I experience this, but what does God say about this situation? We could save ourselves so much heartache and so much turmoil and frustration if we just ask ourselves, all right, what does God say about this? Praise God. And I'll tell you what, 10 times out of 10, the Lord's going to show you, here's what I have to say about this. Do you know how many Christians were so terribly upset when the election took place? This recent election. No, whether you were happy about it or not, you know what I'm saying? God did not fall off his throne. But I know of some personally, I know some Christians that were in deep depression after this election. Like, oh God, what's going to happen to America? I'll tell you what's going to happen to America. He's going to uphold it. Are you with me? Because presidents come and go. Amen. But God doesn't. Amen. God's on the throne. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm not trying to like promote one person or another in the political party. I'm saying always vote Bible. Who supports the Bible the most? I don't care what color skin they have. I don't care if they're purple, green. You know what I'm saying? Whoever supports the Bible the most, that's who you're supposed to vote for. It's not Democratic, Republican. People get in real small wars over this kind of stuff. But whichever platform supports the Word of God in life, that's who you're supposed to vote for. But just because you voted for someone and maybe they didn't get in, doesn't mean that God's not going to work this year and the next year and the next 4 years. You see, where's our trust? When stuff like this happens, the Bible says we're still to pray for those in leadership. We're to pray for those in authority that we might live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's what Timothy says. So in every crisis of life, things that come against us, we need to ask ourselves the question, what does God's Word say about this? And when we know what God's Word says about this, then we can apply it to that situation and then we can have peace. You know, some of you came in here, this is not a word of knowledge, I'm just saying this because it's human nature. Some of you came in here this morning with some situations in your life and you're kind of heavy about it. Just kind of just dragged yourself in, you know what I'm saying? Not literally like that, but just, I'm here. I know it's your first service. I came to just honor the first service, but listen, God wants more than that. How many of you know that? Yeah. Okay? It's a first service. That's great. Well, we're talking about the Word of God impacting your life. Amen. Okay? When you don't get excited, and I say this for me too, when you do not get excited about the Word of God, you really don't believe it. I like what David said. He says, I rejoice at thy word like one that findeth great spoil. Amen? And what if you found a chest full of gold and silver? What would you act like? Yeah. Oh, look at that. Show your buddies. Did you see that? Gold, silver, precious stones. Would you do that? Would you be like, look at that? You know? No, you'd be like, come here. You got to see this. And you might do a little dance right there. You know what I'm saying? I just lost my microphone when I did that. right off there. Josh, want to fix this? See, I got excited and my microphone came off. Isn't that amazing? Can you all handle this for a minute? Take a commercial break here for a second.
Close your eyes.
All right. Say the word of God.
The word of God
is my answer. It's always my answer. For every situation. In my life. Thank you. Praise God. So David said this. He says, I rejoice at thy word like one that findeth great spoil. I remember when I was a kid, you know, right up the street from where we used to live, there's a little alleyway, you know, where our bus stop was. And I was just a little kid, and I was waiting for the bus. And we went down this little alleyway. It was next to a store. And you remember McGinnis's store? Remember that, Jackie? There's a little alleyway right next to it. I went down there. We grew up in the same area, went to the same school. And there's a bunch of leaves and stuff down there. But in the midst of that leaves was a $10 bill. I thought, look at that, you know. And back in those, we're talking in the 70s, $10 could get you a whole lot of candy. Man, I struck it rich. So I reached down there in those leaves, you know, and pulled that $10 bill out of there. And I hung on to that thing and I was proudly announcing it to my friends that were there at the bus stop. Look at what I got, you know. And they're all down there looking, they got leaves. You're not going to find anything. I got it. But I got all excited about a $10 bill. Well, David said, I rejoice at thy word like one that findeth great spoil. So in other words, he looked at the word and said, woohoo, glory to God. Yes. Now, natural carnal-minded people would say, why are they so excited? I don't get it. They're just looking at a scripture and they're getting excited. That's because they're in faith. See, religion will look at the word of God through historical eyes and say, yes, did you see what David did and Moses and Elijah did? And, you know, that's all part of our history. No, see, the Bible's more than just about history. It's a book of life. It's a book of living. It's alive. Amen? And when you believe the word of God, you get excited about it. And the Apostle Paul experienced that in the book of Acts. And he was preaching to a man that never walked before. And Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Why? Because Paul was preaching the full gospel. He was preaching salvation. He was preaching healing. The guy would have never had any faith if Paul wouldn't have preached it. The guy was sitting there crippled. All right? From his mother's womb. Never had walked before. Never stepped in his life. But the Bible says Paul perceived that he had faith to be healed. And here's the guy sitting there crippled. But there's something on the guy's countenance. As Paul is presenting the word of God, he's starting like, yeah, he's getting excited. He's jumping up on the inside. You see, on the inside, he was standing up, even though on the outside, he was still sitting down. And Paul said this with a loud voice. He wasn't even quiet about it. He said, son, stand upright on thy feet. He reached down, he jumped up, and he had strength, and he walked, and he ran for the very first time. Hallelujah. Now, why did I say that? Because his attitude about the word was, oh, we've heard this before. Yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I've heard that many, many times. I heard that preacher talk about that, you know. And it's an attitude. You see, our attitude about the word will determine the outcome in our lives. Okay? If the word of God is being presented, sometimes I've seen people, when you minister the word, they look as bored as anything. When I was going to Bible school, I'll tell you, we had several thousand students in there. And we had guys that were reading Hot Rod magazines while Brother Kenneth Hagin was teaching the Word of God. Not everybody, but there was a few knuckleheads in the crowd, you know. And I'm thinking, I didn't say it, but I was thinking, I said, you idiot. How stupid can you be looking at a Hot Rod magazine? I mean, I felt like kissing the ground. We're not honoring the man, exalting the man, but we're honoring the ministry and the anointing that they stand in. I thought, doggone it, I'm 20 feet away from Brother Kenneth Hagin. I'm sitting at his feet listening to him. I honored and respected that. I didn't take it lightly. And sometimes people take a light approach with the Word of God because they think, well, it's just like any other book. No, this Word, the Bible is different than any book in the world. It's not the same as the Book of Mormon. It's not. It's different than any book because this word will endure forever. It's living. It's alive. Yeah, and when you take a stand upon the word of God, I trust you understand that the word of God will work for you.
Yes.
You see, I've been around long enough to prove this out, that when I've had a physical need in my life, a financial need, I took the word of God, applied the word of God, believed the word of God, got excited about the word of God before I saw any money in my bank account.
Amen.
I didn't see it. I looked up. Didn't see it. My physical eyes were telling me, you don't have it. But I read the book. Title deed. That's the title deed. See, the Bible says faith is the title deed. The book, the Bible, is your title deed to everything that belongs to you. Amen?
Amen.
Glory be to God. If I gave you a title deed to a vehicle, one of my vehicles, and I gave it to you, you would get excited about it even if you never saw it before. Why? Because that paper is proof of ownership. And sign it over to you. You haven't seen it yet, but you get all excited about it. Did you hear about my new car? You call up someone on the phone. Did you hear about my new car? I hadn't seen it yet, but oh, I got the title deed. It's mine. Because you believe it. You envision it. You see it in your mind. And then it shows up. See, that's the kind of attitude that we need to have about God's word. I see, I refuse to take America as a bad example because I see in other countries where people are hearing the word of God and they get so excited about it. And they'll sit in Africa, for example. They'll come and sit African style. We got nice padded chairs here. And they'll come and they'll stand for 10, 12 hours a day and not even complain about it. And stand there like this. Amen?
Yeah.
I remember years ago, the closest thing I ever had to that was we went deep sea fishing. I paid all this money to go deep sea fishing, you know. And I mean, I had visions of catching some sailfish or something out there, even though my rod was like a little... a toy rod, you know, you know, it was with a long pointy nose, you know, it's one of those fish, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, but I had never gone deep sea fishing before. I did lake fishing and that kind of thing. So there's about 100 people on this boat. They took us out, went like 50 miles out, you know, and then it was time to put the anchor down and settle down. And so we were all standing like this next to each other. I thought, this is real exciting. You know, lines are getting tied up and all this kind of stuff. And within 10 minutes, I thought, oh, I don't feel too good right now. 20 minutes went by. Oh, God. 30 minutes went by. I couldn't even stand up. I was the only one on that boat that couldn't. I mean, I could not handle it, you know. So I had to go in and lay down. And you know, they won't turn the boat around because all those people paid all that money. So I was out there groaning and moaning and just seasick, you know. And I don't know why I said that, but I didn't. I was like, praising God when they started coming. I saw land. I wanted to kiss the land after that, you know. Here I paid all this money to go out there and not catch a blasted fish, but get sick in the process. Motion sickness. Well, the people in Africa, I've seen this on film, where they'll come and they'll stand there and the preacher will get them, say one word, and they get all excited about it. And then all of a sudden, there's an outbreak of miracles. Miracles start happening right and left. Why is that? Because their attitude is, the preacher said, I believe that's the word of God. I believe that. So why should we be any different in America? Well, we have to scrutinize everything and investigate. Listen, the word of God's the word of God. And if you take it at face value and believe it and act upon it, you can receive a miracle in your life.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Let's go over to Luke chapter 6 here. Luke chapter 6, if you would. So we're talking about the first pillar in your life as a believer. It's a pillar of success. The number one pillar is the word of God in your life. I think it was the psalmist said, David said this. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. He hid the word in his heart. But in Luke chapter 6, Jesus said this in verse 47. He said this out of the New Living. It says, I will show you what it is like for when someone comes to me and he listens to my teaching and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. And when the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey My word is like a person who builds his house without a foundation. And so when the floods sweep down against the house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins and rubble. So that's what Jesus said about the word of God. He said that whoever hears my word and does it, okay, or acts upon it, believes my word. He says, and I'll notice that the same storm came against both people. The storms of life will come to everybody, the storms of whatever, you know. But it's what the person builds their foundation upon that will determine the outcome, okay? And while everybody else is, while recession is going on around you, it doesn't have to affect your house, okay? I'm not just saying that as a cute little saying to sound real positive, you know, Norman Vincent Peale stuff. But I'm saying this, in the Bible says that in Israel, in Egypt, while they were in Egypt in bondage for 410 years, it says that there was light in Goshen, but there was darkness in Egypt. Now they're side by side. See, God makes a clear distinction between his people and the people of this world because they're not in covenant. They're not in covenant. Speaking of which, Joseph, when he went down into Egypt, the Bible says that God blessed the house of Pharaoh for Joseph's sake. Now, was Pharaoh a worshiper of Jehovah? No, no. Pharaoh was not a follower of Jesus and God and of Jehovah. But the Bible says that God blessed the house of Pharaoh for what? For Joseph's sake. Why? Joseph had a covenant with God.
Amen.
Okay? It's the name of our church. Covenant Family Church. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, we encourage you to check out our new website. The information is in the bulletin. It's only about 30% done. There's a whole lot more material that's going to go on there. But the name of our church, God gave it to us. It's a covenant. We have a covenant with Almighty God.
Amen.
The Bible says that God blessed the house of Pharaoh for Joseph's sake. Now, wait a minute. Pharaoh's wicked. Pharaoh's ungodly. But yet, the blessing was coming on his house. For what? For Joseph's sake. That means you can be working for a company of ungodly people. This is a word for some people today. You can be working for a company of unbelievers, but God will bless that company while you are there.
Amen.
Because it affects you.
Amen.
It affects you. Isn't that good to know that?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. But Jesus said, if you hear my word and don't do it, you're like a man that built his house on the sand, and when the waves and the wind and the storms of life came against it, it crashed and burned. Okay? But he said, whoever hears my word and does it. See, doesn't James talk about, don't be hearers of the word only, but be what?
Doers
of the word of God. See, it's not the hearers that are blessed, it's the hearers and doers that are blessed. And so you like today in church, you say, you know what? I'm going to apply. I'm going to take notes. I'm going to go home and I'm going to start applying this stuff to my life. And I'm going to watch God move in my life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't think there's anybody in here that wants to be a failure. There's no one here that enjoys being a failure. You want to be a success. And God has a method and God has a way of creating a supernatural success in your life. We're not talking about Tony Robbins here. We're talking about Bible, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Okay? All right, so we don't want to just be hearers. We want to be what?
Doers.
Doers of the Word of God. Now let's go over and we'll close with this scripture here in Joshua chapter 1. In Joshua chapter 1, my son's book here. Joshua chapter 1. And a little bit of history here. Of course, you know that Moses had fulfilled his ministry. And Joshua is now taking the place of Moses' ministry. In other words, he's filling his shoes. Now, that would make you feel kind of insecure, wouldn't it? Here you got the Moses of the Bible that led the people out of Egypt. You know, I mean, he's the greatest prophet that existed then at that time, you know. And now God is putting that mantle upon Joshua to lead the Israelites into the promised land. So I can just imagine that he would feel a little bit insecure about that, inferior about that. Like, who am I that you would choose me to like take his place to lead them into the promised land? So you'll find that in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, we're not going to read the whole chapter because of time here, but you'll see God telling Joshua, he said, I'm telling you, be courageous. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Be courageous. Why? He was tempted to not be courageous. So when you step out into an area of unfamiliar territory with you, there's always going to be a hesitancy. There's always going to be a hesitancy. Even this little move, really, that we made coming to this place, I had an apprehension. There was a hesitancy. But the Lord was showing me, says, Keith, anytime you step out and you step into new territory, you're going to have those kinds of feelings. That's no sign that I'm not in that. It's just that when you step out and you stretch yourself and you enlarge your tent stakes, as the Bible says, you know, you're going to feel a little apprehensive, in other words. But that's not a sign that God's not in it. So God was telling Joshua here in the Bible, be of good courage, be strong. And he goes, and you'll take them and you will inherit the land. Now they were going into a promised land that belonged to them. And the Lord told the Israelites, he says, I've given you the land even before they were in there. Praise God. And the Lord has told us, you and I, that every promise in the Word of God is yes and in Him, amen. Every promise, it already belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. Provision, great provision belongs to you. Success belongs to you because of Jesus. Here's the key. Here's the master key that God gave Joshua. But here's what I want to say is this, is it's not just a key for Joshua, but it's a key for all of us. All right? Now, did Joshua go into the promised land? He did, didn't he? Joshua and Caleb, I'm telling you what, these two guys, out of all the Israelites, they had a different, the Bible says they had another spirit. They had a different spirit. What did they have? The spirit of faith. When Moses sent up the 12 spies, there's 12 tribes in Israel, right? So he sent a leader up from each of the tribe. So there's 12 leaders, sent them up into the promised land to spy it out. In other words, to get a sneak preview of what I'm about to bring you into. He did not send them up there to see if they could go in. He was sending them up there to show them how they could enter in. And they brought back proof of fruit. You know, they got some fruit cluster, grape clusters. You know, they're like softball size grape. Can you imagine that? Say, pass the grapes. No, grape. We're talking promised land type stuff here. A land that flows with milk and honey. A land of no shortage. No scarceness. No lack. He says you'll have houses that you'll possess that you didn't build. Vineyards that you didn't plant. You'll possess. That's a type of our salvation. And he says, you're going to receive that. So they came back after 40 days of spying out the land in Numbers chapter 13. Remember that? Now Moses, the Lord told Moses, he said, send up the Israelites, send up the leaders. He said, for I've given them the land. I've given it to them. I'm not going to. I've already given it to them. But you remember the story. They came back, 12 spies. And the Bible says 10 of them came back with an evil report of unbelief. And they said, well, the land surely is good, and here's proof of it, here's the fruit thereof, and so forth and so on. He says, but there's giants in the land. Someone said they got their butts in the way. He said, but there's giants in the land. We can't do it. We can't do it. But Joshua and Caleb said, I'm paraphrasing, they said, shut up. Be quiet. He says, they're nothing. We're well able to go up and possess the land. They got so mad at Joshua and Caleb for believing God's word, they wanted to stone them. Because they took a stance for God's word. Sometimes people get upset because you believe the word of God. Well, let them get upset. You just go ahead and possess it, enter in, and they'll look at you and say, I don't know how they did that. But I'm telling you what, Joshua, the Bible says, and Caleb had another spirit. What did they have? The spirit of faith. They said, we're well able. He said, they're like, you know, the ten said, we're like grasshoppers in their sight. You know, they're huge. They're big, you know. See, it wasn't a matter of how big the giants were. It's how big God is. They didn't believe God's word. God told them, he said, I've given you the land. But what did they get? They got their eyes off Jehovah. They got their eyes on the giants. They said, we can't do this. They're in the way. I can't get a job in this city. The job market's horrible in this city. That's a giant. Huh? Amen? Did you get that? No, God's bigger than that. God's bigger than that. God can get you a job and there's 60% unemployment. You can be part of that 40%. Amen? What do you believe? It's what you believe in here and up here. It's not what the newspaper says. It's not what the news media says. It's what does God's word say? Well, the Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, we can do this. We can go up. Well, as you go forward, fast forward, you know, you find that who? Joshua and Caleb went in, and the people 20 years and younger under them went in and possessed the land. They were the minority. What happened to the rest of the 10 spies and the people underneath them? They perished in the wilderness, never entered into the promised land. Now, Paul talks about this in Hebrews. He said, they heard the word, but they didn't believe it. They which believed have entered into rest. And he was referring to the Israelites, the Joshua and Caleb. They believed, therefore they entered into rest, said, we can do this. We can go up and do this. Amen? Never let people tell you, you can't do that. You know, I feel led of the Lord to start a business. You'll have people say, well, I know someone that did that, and they failed miserably. In fact, they went bankrupt over that. So there's going to be a lot of people, naysayers out there, say, you can't do that. But you know what? Just turn a deaf ear to it. If you've heard from the Lord and he's told you to do something, bless God, you stand up in the face of adversity and you go forward and you do what God's told you to do. And you receive. All right? So here's the key. I had you turn to Joshua 1:8, right? This word of God shall not depart from out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that's written in. Then you'll make your way prosperous. You'll have good success. So meditation in the word of God was the key to success in Joshua in his life so that he could enter into the promised land. Now the Amplified says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate it day and night and observe to do according to all that's written. For then you will make your way, notice, he'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll deal wisely and have good success. So wisdom is involved with this, and you'll have good success. How? By meditating on the word of God. Now, the word meditation means this, if you're taking notes. It means to digest, to think, to ponder, to consider, focus, imagine, dream, to muse, or to speak. So this is what meditation is. Someone says, oh, brother, that meditation stuff, that just seems really hard. I don't know if I can do that. Let me ask you a question. How many here ever worried before? Any warriors in here, past warriors before? Did you know that you were meditating just on the wrong thing? See, you were envisioning, you were thinking, and nothing's happened yet, but you're thinking the worst. What if that plane goes down? I get on that plane. Ooh, I don't like the ocean. Amen? Well, if you're falling from 30,000 feet, whether it's land or water, it doesn't matter. It's not going to happen to you. But I'm saying people worry about things and they fret about things, and that's a form of meditation. They think and they worry. I wonder if so-and-so is going to accept me. I wonder if, you know, listen. Just go out with the attitude that everybody likes me.
Amen.
Well, there'll be a few people that won't, but that's okay. You're in the good company with Jesus and the apostles and everybody else. But you might as well just have an attitude like, people like me. Now, that's not being egotistical. That's not saying, look at me. But I'm just being confident in who God is on the inside of you. See, I know within me, within myself, Paul said, there's no good thing in my flesh. But what good we do have is because of Jesus Christ. And people want what we have. They want what you have. There's thousands and thousands of people that are in this area right here that are looking for the very thing that you have on the inside of you. And all you got to do is just kind of roll your sleeves up, so to speak, and love on them, be good to them, bless them, be a friend to them. Amen. We already met several workers that are in this this place right here, this auditorium. Met people this morning, met people last night, you know. Oh, we're already planting seed. Praise God. And developing friendships just like we did at the other hotel. And some of them came to the Lord as a result of that. Some of the workers in that last hotel. It was worth every week that we were there. So, meditating upon the Word of God, and in conclusion here today, is the first pillar is the Word of God. When you meditate on the Word of God, then you'll digest it, you'll think it, you'll ponder it, you'll consider it, you'll focus on it. And if you can worry, then you can meditate. Well, how do you meditate? You take a scripture and you chew on it. Not literally, but you think about it, you speak it over, you say, how does this apply to me? By His stripes I'm healed. All right, so that's written, all right. How does that apply to me? By His stripes I'm healed. All right, Jesus laid those 39 lashes, I think it was, on His back, you know, and those stripes that were laid on His back were for me. So if He took that for me, then why? I don't need to be sick. And you start meditating on that. You look at Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Brother Mark Hankin said, if you're going to have a fit, have a benefit. Amen. He said, forget not all His benefits. What are His benefits? He forgives all your iniquities, your sins, and He heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. So what are you doing? You're meditating on the Word. You put that on the inside of you, and then it becomes a reality in your life. You will become a success by meditating upon the Word of God. You can literally take one scripture, and begin to chew on. Amen? I know when my kids were a lot younger, when they started eating solid food, I remember Josh in particular, when he was just a youngster, like a year and a half, 2 years old, he started eating real food, you know, in the jars, you know. And one day he got that food and he smeared it all over his face and he was all of his arms. And I mean, just, you know, this was last week, you know, of course, you know, but you just leave the room for a minute and he does this. Oh, dear God, we're not really impressed by that. What we're impressed by is when he gets the food in his mouth and it goes down and he digests it. Okay. You see, a starving man or a woman can rub food all over their body. You can take a T-bone steak, rub it on potatoes, whatever, green beans, or smear it all over your body, and you can still die of starvation. Didn't have to. Kind of ridiculous to die when food is right there. But what happens? You have to put it in your mouth, get it down, and then your body knows what to do with it. See, that's the same with the Word of God. You can have 30,000 Bibles stacked in your house, every translation known to humankind. But it's getting that Word inside you that will be digested in your spirit that will bring life to you. Right? Taking the Word, meditating on it. So, folks, this is so important this year. And I'm not ministering this as if you're not doing this, but just as a word of encouragement to continue along this line. We could all use some tweaking, as they say, right? Amen. In our lives. Just take the Word of God a lot more serious. I'll close with this illustration. There was a minister years ago, an acquaintance friend of ours that we met years ago that was in Africa ministering. And he was back in the bush, as they say, you know, that you would see like on National Geographic, people live in grass huts and things like that. And, you know, these are real villages. These are real people that live in these particular areas. And this minister went back there to evangelize and to minister, and which he did. And he would go back there year after year and minister to these people. And he was ministering to this one particular family that was a chicken farmer. And this time he went over there, the chickens were acting very unusual. Their feathers were falling out, and they weren't producing the eggs and things like that. Now this is this gentleman's entire livelihood. He's being affected by this farmer in Africa, in this grass hut. So he's really concerned about it. So he went to the vet. The vet did some research and found out that there was something lacking in the chicken's diet. So when they corrected the chicken's diet, the feathers grew back, the eggs started coming, and everything was cool. Right? Now, I'll say that to say this. You can take that chicken, shake him, say, what is wrong with you? Take that chicken to a chicken psychologist. Have him sit on the couch. No, lay on the couch. And talk to him and rebuke him and go back 13 years and what's wrong? Okay, what happened? What happened? Oh, you were offended by the other chickens. Oh, okay. All right. See, a lot of times psychology can take you apart, but they can't put you back together. It's like a watch. You can take a watch apart, but try to put it back together. Are you with me now? You can rebuke it sharply and chastise it and everything, you know, but is the chicken going to change? No. What's got to change? His diet. Okay? And spiritually speaking, that's the same way. You can't chasing people and rebuking them into changing and stuff. You know, what you got to do is, that's the part of the local church. You feed the people. Because when you feed the Word of God to people, then if there's something out of balance in our lives, the Word of God will correct that. The Word of God will help that. That's why Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the word of the Lord, and his word doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But the ungodly, that's not so with them. Amen. So when we begin to meditate upon the Word of God, I encourage you to just take a scripture a day and just begin to meditate. Write it down on a little card or whatever you have to do and keep it before you. You can meditate driving to work, just speaking it over and over and over again. And it gets down on the inside of you. And what happens is digestion is taking place. And that's when the real supernatural things will begin to take place in your life. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Praise God. Ushers, if you want to get the communion elements ready and just begin to pass those out, we'll wait till everybody is served. Thank you, Lord.